Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you know, we've been talking to my buddies John and Andy Irwin for years, ever since October Baby came out, and then Mom's Night Out and Woodlawn, and I can only imagine. And then this Friday, I Still Believe, which is such a powerful movie. We've been talking about it for a couple of months now. For some of you, you might be ad nauseum, but trust me, you're going to thank me for it once you go see it this weekend. And this weekend's super important. This is the time when we all have to get out and support the movie. That's just the way the movie industry works. But this time, another true story, another music story, I Still Believe, an incredibly powerful story. I've seen it three times now, and so today we just have a great treat of having the person, well, one of the two people, for the most part, that the story is about, which is a true story, really, really powerful story, a love story, but also a story that deals with a very difficult subject of cancer and loss, and can you find hope, and can the Lord still work, and all of that, of course. The one person that we would be talking about would be Jeremy Camp, who was there, and I don't know where he went, so... That's not good. Hopefully he'll call back in and we'll get him back on the line. How about that for a graceful entrance? I had problems yesterday, did I not? And then now I have problems again today. So he's calling back right now, I think. So we should be okay once we get that. But Jeremy Camp is on tour. He's been on tour. And then he was in L.A. on Saturday for the premiere in L.A. for I Still Believe. And then he's back on tour. So he's been very, very busy. I think we have him there now. Jeremy, hey man, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry, I think I hung up on that.
That's okay, not a problem. I know your world is completely upside down right now, so it's no problem. Absolutely. Already. I've seen the movie three times, Jeremy. It's so powerful. I've done a couple of screenings out here for pastors in North Carolina, and I just wanted to get at it because we don't have a lot of time, but this is a very difficult movie. My sister-in-law died of pancreatic cancer about 3 weeks ago, and thank you. My wife and I saw it, watched it at home several months ago, and that was difficult. But on this side of it, it was very, very difficult to go through it and watch it again. But the message of hope is so amazing and so powerful and so needed today. But for you, Jeremy, yeah. I would imagine, what's this been like having to kind of revisit and go back and in essence, kind of relive this in such a powerful way? What's that been like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of people are saying, are you so excited this movie's coming out? And of course, I mean, the answer is yes, because I know how it's going to affect people's lives and give them hope. But it has been the hardest part of my life, being portrayed visually. So it's been a whole different dynamic for me, because it's the darkest, hardest part of my life. And so here I have watched it visually, and it's kind of taken me back to those hard places. And that's not been easy to do. But here's the thing, I realize the effect that it's had on people's lives. And so it's worth it. So any kind of, you know, grief or, you know, things that I had to go back to and deal with, and even honestly, fears that it has brought up, that God's like kind of pulling those things out again and saying, but look how faithful I've been, all that kind of stuff, it's all worth it, because literally, like the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, that we're called to comfort others with what we've been comforted. And I feel like that is a big, massive part of this. And so it's an honor. It's not been easy. It's been warfare. It's been, you know, it's emotional. But it is worth it, because it's literally bringing people to Christ and encouraging people to run to him in the midst of trials.
Yeah, and it was the one thing that I forgot to bring to those screenings was Kleenex, because people were...
tissues.
Yeah, man, it was amazing to kind of hear it and listen to people respond. But that's what people came out of it. We had several hundred people that came out over a couple of screenings, and the hope that it brings was palpable. People understood that and saw that as the message of the movie. But What was it like to kind of turn this over to John and Andy? I've been friends with the Irwin brothers for about 10 or 12 years now, but it's kind of like turning over one of your children to somebody. What was that like? How did that process go?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like a trust fall. You know, you're like, hey, I'm going to trust you. Are you going to catch me? You know, it's that kind of feeling. But I think because when we first met them and had the conversation, you could tell that they were...
I think we just lost him again. He's in a bad spot. Hold on a second. I'm going to ask him if he can do the second segment as well. Wow. Maybe a few more minutes until... I'm just doing this on the fly. So we lost him twice, which I have no idea. He's calling back. He's checking to see if we can hold him for a few extra minutes. His schedule is crazy because the movie opens this Friday. So I'm looking at it. He just called in. My call screener, Keith, is talking to him right now. So we'll find out what he can do because we're going to hit the break in about 2.5 minutes. And that's a real bummer because, you know, this is such a rich conversation. You don't get to talk to somebody like Jeremy Camp very often because he's so busy. The bigger the fish, the harder it is to kind of pull this stuff off. And God just has blessed me and the show through all these years of being able to deal with John and Andy and kind of getting an inside track on some of this stuff. But he's very, very busy and he's on tour. Now we just lost him again. Wow. So we just lost him. What's the deal? Wow. That's such a bummer. My question is, and the part he was getting into. Sorry, I'm typing at the same time. He's coming back now, so we'll see what happens. Oh, God. Got about a minute and a half. So I got one more question for him I'll go to right quick. I got him on for about a minute and a half. We'll see what happens here. I'm literally looking at the screen. I'm so sorry. I'm literally looking at the screen. Hey, man, are you back?
Sir, I've never had this happen before.
That's who knows? Okay.
I have perfect.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. All right, let me ask you this one question because we're going to run out. And there he goes again. Okay, I'm thinking that's us. Okay, so welcome into my world because... Oh, man. So now I've got 30 seconds, so I can't do it. Sorry. Something's going on. Anyway, let me just tell you about what he was going to talk about, because I was on the movie set down there in Mobile, Alabama, where they shot pretty much the whole movie. And one of the things about John and Andy Irwin, because they did October Baby first, okay, which was really a strong pro-life movie. Then they did Mom's Night Out, which is obviously just a comedy. October Baby, not based on a true story, but once they did Woodlawn, and then they did I Can Only Imagine, and then I Still Believe, then they've made a commitment, you know what, we're going to just keep doing true stories. Because the one thing, if you're going to share your testimony and how the Lord has changed your life, the one thing people can't argue with is your experience because it happened. So a little bit more about that, and then I'm going to revisit the coronavirus thing because our phones were a nightmare yesterday, and maybe they're going to be a nightmare again today, and maybe I'll just walk away. I'll know. We'll see what the Lord will do. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Hey, at least I didn't have Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, call on the show and go off on me and tell me I'm full of blankety-blank and use a bunch of bad language at me. At least that didn't happen. You know, I had one of the biggest Christian artists out there right now, Jeremy Camp, called in, and we were looking forward to talking about I Still Believe opening this Friday nationwide in 3,000 theaters. So it's going to be all over the place. But if you want to go look and buy tickets in advance, which I would encourage you to do, istillbelievemovie.com is the website. istillbelievemovie.com. And you can check that out. Powerful, powerful movie. Love story, yes, but it also deals with the darkness of cancer. And loss, death. Spoiler alert, Jeremy's first wife, Melissa, they met and fell in love in college at the Calvary Chapel College out in California. And then he married her knowing her. She had ovarian cancer. It was bad. And then she had this miraculous kind of remission for 6 months, and they got married at the end of that. And then on the honeymoon, and this is all true, on the honeymoon, she was in terrible pain. It came back, and she died not that long after. He married her knowing it, going into it, stayed with her. And then coming out of that is he wrote the song, I Still Believe. And when you see the movie this weekend, opens nationwide, I Still Believe, this Friday. When you see the movie, you're going to see a scene towards the end where he finds a note from Melissa, his wife, and it's an encouraging note. She wrote it before she died. And just a little behind the scenes thing here, because you won't know this watching the movie. When you see him holding this note and reading this note, that's the actual note. So Jeremy and Melissa's family gave them permission to use that. It's so Britt Robertson, who plays Melissa, Jeremy Camp's wife, reads the note. I mean, it's her voice as he reads the note. And the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so powerful. It's such an important message that there can be hope and purpose in the pain and in the loss. And I know most of you have been down that road, and sometimes you're like, why, Lord, especially the more tragic it is. This is a young woman. I think Melissa was 22 when she died. And you're like, well, what's the point of that? And Melissa said it herself. And actually, my sister-in-law, who went to be with the Lord about 3.5 weeks ago at the age of 56, also died of cancer, said the same basic thing. If one soul gets saved because of what I've gone through, then it's worth it. And that isn't that the definition of a friend when we look in the New Testament? That one would lay down his life for his brother. Would you lay down your life? If one lost person could be saved and go to heaven because of you suffering and even you dying, would you do it? And that's a very difficult question, is it not? You're just sitting there thinking, well, what if you have young kids? What if you have kids at home and your husband or your wife or whatever? But what's worth more? The soul of a human being? An eternal soul? Like C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal. Every single person you will ever meet is either an eternal horror because they're going to be in hell, or they're in eternal splendor because they'll be in heaven. But you've never met a mere mortal. And so what's more important? And so that's the story behind this movie. And that note that you'll hear her read and that you'll actually see at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, is the actual note. Super powerful. I still believe opening nationwide this Friday. And again, the Irwin brothers, John and Andy, who I've been friends with for years and ever since going all the way back to October Baby, have had them on the air. They made this commitment after they did Woodlawn, and then I Can Only Imagine, and now I Still Believe. They want to do true stories. So the next movie, they're actually fast-tracking it, is the story of Kurt Warner, An American Underdog, is what it's called. And they're trying to get that in the theaters by December. Kurt Warner, Super Bowl-winning quarterback and believer, and an incredible story. They're also doing the Jesus Revolution. For those of you that are, you know, 60 and older, you should probably remember that. I'm only 54, so it was before my time, because it was the late 60s, early 70s, the Jesus Revolution out on the West Coast. And that's kind of a documentary movie-type conglomeration there, kind of like what they did with Steve McQueen. That was a pure documentary. But this one will be a regular movie, but talking about the historic aspects of that and what God did during the Jesus Revolution around Greg Laurie's story, because he got saved. Pastor Greg Laurie, he got saved during the Jesus movement. Chuck Smith, he was right in the middle of all that. So they're using that as the backdrop of telling the story of the Jesus Revolution, which was the last really great awakening we've seen, not nationwide, but certainly on the West Coast. And so that's going out there. They're doing all true stories. Really amazing, and I really honor those guys for it. So make sure you go see I Still Believe. Super important this weekend, because they're still in the movie business, and the opening weekend is everything. Okay, so you got to be careful with that. Let's get out there and support it. And believe me, bring some tissues, because you're going to need them. Okay, yesterday we tried to talk about the coronavirus, which now here in Wake County, North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, just found out today a local private school is shutting down. I don't know how long they're shutting down, but they're closing their doors right now because the mom of one of their kids was exposed to somebody who has the coronavirus. So my question for you, which we tried to take the calls yesterday and we had some problems, and I hope I won't have problems today, but I'd love to hear from you, 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. And my simple question for you is, what do you think about the U.S. reaction to the coronavirus? Whether you want to talk about Donald Trump, the feds, what's going on individually, has it affected you? Has it affected anybody that you know? Are you changing your lifestyle right now? Are you worried about going out? Are you worried about going to work? Are you not going to the concert? Are you not going to see a movie? Are you, whatever it is. Or do you think this is totally overblown and it's just a media frenzy right now? Because if it bleeds, it leads. And so I want to hear from you. What do you think about the coronavirus? Is it a big issue for you? Is it not? Has it touched you personally? Is it affecting your lifestyle? Is it affecting your business? I just want to kind of open this up and hear from you for the rest of the show, which I was trying to do yesterday, and several of you called in. The lines were full, and we had some tech difficulties yesterday, so I'm trying not to throw my computer through the glass in front of me. 866-348-7884. Would love to hear from you and share your reaction to what's going on with the coronavirus, specifically here in America. If you want to tie in something from the rest of the world, as that continues to blow up, in not literally, figuratively, obviously. But in Italy now, they're shutting down all travel in Italy. Israel just said yesterday, if anybody comes in from out of country, we're going to put you into quarantine. So this is getting pretty nutty. But what's your reaction to the coronavirus? 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 is our number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Has it affected you? Do you think it's ridiculous? Is it overblown? Or do you think, hey, for some people, and things are getting a little nutty. In New York now, they're talking about mobilizing the National Guard, and they're going to help deliver food because they're shutting down a specific part where they had a few people come down with it in New York. And they're reacting heavily. Now Governor Cooper here in North Carolina is declaring a quote-unquote state of emergency for what? So I keep asking, is there something the government knows that we don't know? Which makes me sound a little bit like Glenn Beck. And I don't mean to be. I'm not a catastrophist. I'm not big on conspiracy theories. I just ask questions. I look at things critically. I'm a bit of a skeptic, a bit of a cynic, duh. And so what's going on there? But I'm curious as to what's been your reaction to this, the coronavirus, what's going on? Has it affected you? Do you think it's going to affect you? Do you know anybody it's affected directly? But what do you think about the coverage? Just coronavirus 101, what's your reaction to all this? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And Sandra, I'm going to get to you on the other side of the break because I'm going to hit a break here in about 30 seconds. So I don't want to pick you up and start talking and then have to put you right back on hold. So I'm going to get to Sandra here in just a second. But I'd love to hear from you guys. What do you think about the coronavirus coverage, the coronavirus in general? And is it affecting your life? Do you expect it's going to affect your life? Are you concerned or are you not? Coronavirus 101 here today on the Steve Noble Show. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Talk to me about the coronavirus. I want to talk to you for the rest of the show. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Another apology. This is two apology days in a row. So let me just bare my soul to you for a second, okay? And I'm going to bare my soul to you by praying. So let's just pray. Just pray for things going on yesterday and today and some technical issues. And then, you know, we had Jeremy Camp on. Then we lost him three times. That wasn't Jeremy, by the way. That was our system. So that's the phone system, the computer system, something in there. So the reverberations for stuff like that, for those of you that operate in the professional world, and that's most of you, the reverberations are Jeremy Camp reports back about his interviews, and he says, well, yeah, I called this one and blah, 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 and they dropped my call three times. The rest of my interviews were fine. And then they said, well, it must have been them. Well, them is me. And I'm not talking about my pride here, okay? I'm not a great respecter of men anymore. I don't really kind of kowtow down to that anymore. I just don't struggle with that. But I do want to be professional. I want to do a good job. Number one, for the Lord. I'm not on here as some secular talk radio guy where it doesn't, you know, get the audience and that's about it. If you have audience numbers, you're fine. If you don't have audience numbers, you get fired. That's not the deal on Christian radio. You can just keep going. You fund it and you can just keep going. If it's just my wife that listens twice a week out of 5 days a week, I could keep doing Christian radio and nobody else on the planet listens. You could keep doing it because I could just buy airtime. You can just do that if you want. Now, if it's a really bad show, they're not going to allow you to stay on, nor should they. So you want to be a good rep in all that you do, whether you eat or drink, to all the glory of God. So when we mess up and stuff, is that to the glory of God? No. Do accidents happen? Yes. Should they happen more than once? Not generally, but stuff happens. The other side of this that I would remind myself and before we pray, and you too, is spiritual warfare is real. Does that mean there's a demon? There's a computer demon and a phone demon and a timing demon and a clock demon and a internet demon and a Facebook Live demon. No, but there are demons. And I'm definitely on the radar screen. If you're a outspoken Christian, you're on the radar screen too. And you can expect some opposition. Is there enough demons running around to mess with every outspoken Christian on the planet? No, but occasionally? Sure. So I never discount that. We should always pray about spiritual warfare. We should always pray for our own part in anything and pray for God's favor. And then we do the best we can, and we're quick to forgive, slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to speak, right? And so let's just pray right quick, and then hopefully we'll do a good job for the rest of the show. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you that a live radio show and technical difficulties, even cancer for those of us that are in Christ, it's all temporary. and Lord, help me to have that joy in my life every day, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because we have eternity settled through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we don't grieve even in the midst of some pain like Jeremy Camp went through, or my family's going through, or tons of other people, millions of other people that know you and yet experience the grief and the loss and the pain, the heartbreak, the anguish, the anger of this world. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we have a hope. And even when we struggle and we doubt sometimes, we still have that hope to cling on to. And that's just because of your revealed will and your revealed word. So we thank you for that. And I just pray that I can do a good job on the radio, whether we have working phones or not, whether we have well-known guests or no guests at all, that, Lord, as long as we're talking about life from your perspective and incorporating your truth, and we're glorifying you, then that's enough. But help us to do that well and to bless one another and to be patient, but also to strive to work with excellence. Help us to do all of that. We pray your mercy and your intervention on technical issues. We've had several of those, and we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us do our part in working it out. Thank you for everybody that supports the show and helps me and prays for me and encourages me, Lord, and all the people behind the scenes like Keith and everybody at the Truth Radio Network and Evan, my intern, and all the people involved, Lord. I just thank you for all of that and the pleasure and the privilege of being able to sit here and talk as an ambassador of the gospel. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So setting that aside. So back to the coronavirus thing, because what's going on, and it's all over the place. So you've got, in the midst of that, and this is a shaking. So whether you want to go eschatological on me or not, it's fine. That's up to you. You want to talk about end times and God shaking the earth and the foundations of the earth? This stuff is shaking. And now we're looking at, this is fascinating, because 6 months ago, I'm going to go politics here for a second. 6 months ago, we're all like, oh, Biden, this is over. All the national polls, Biden, 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 Biden. Then you get this major surge from Bernie Sanders, and all of a sudden, whoa, maybe this is going to be a brokered convention. Now there's another pretty big primary today, a lot of states today, 5 or 6 states today. And right now, I mean, I'm looking at it on Real Clear Politics. The average right now, Biden at 53.5 and Sanders at 35.5. And right now, Biden has 670 delegates. Sanders says 574. You got to have a little north of 1,900. And this is wild what's going on here. In Michigan, Biden up 55-33. In Missouri, Biden up 61-30. So I don't know what's going to happen here with Bernie Sanders, because there's no way he's going to be able to get there delegate-wise. Now, if somehow they can pull off some miracles later on, then you might see a brokered convention in Milwaukee. And if we do, that can get ugly, because you've had some Bernie supporters that are just whacked out Antifa communists who have been caught on camera saying that, hey, if they block Bernie from getting this, Milwaukee's going to burn. Now, is Milwaukee going to, quote unquote, burn? No, but I would expect there's going to be some skirmishes there, because Bernie's people are nuts. And that's where we're at. The simple fact, look at this. This is the Democrat Party, the party of inclusion, right? So where are the people of color? Where are the women? Where are the gay people at the top of the ticket? Nowhere. You have two incredibly well-connected, pretty well-off, rich, white guys in their 70s. And it's just amazing that Bernie Sanders is even an issue, that we're even talking about it, that we're even worried about somebody like Bernie Sanders ascending to the Democrat nomination and then actually going against Trump. And don't think right now, friend, let me just warn you, do not think November is a done deal. You're looking at what can happen in this crazy world. Coronavirus, the stock market, schools closing, businesses closing. This could put us into a little rut here financially, which will get pinned to the president. Now, you can disagree with that. You can dislike that. You can be mad about that. But that's what happens. If it were Obama, the same thing would happen to him. It's going to happen to a Democrat or a Republican in a campaign year, in a presidential campaign year. Good things that happen, president takes credit for. Bad things happen, president gets pinned with it. And so to sit there and think that just because Joe Biden obviously is past his prime, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. I haven't watched this clip yet of him getting into it with a profanity and gaffe-filled spot. Biden on video lashes out at Detroit worker in profanity-laced gun dispute. This was in a car. I think this was in a car factory. Former Vice President Joe Biden got into a heated and profanity-laced argument, I'm reading from Fox News, with a worker at a Fiat Chrysler auto plant in Detroit on Tuesday after the individual accused the Democratic presidential candidate of trying to take away his Second Amendment rights. "You're full of SH blah, blah, blah. I support the Second Amendment," Biden shot back, stressing he's not going to take guns away. Whoa. "You're full of..." Okay, some people are like, hey, man, that's fight back. That's good. But right to a citizen's face? The worker then told Biden, "You're working for me, man." And Biden then saw an online video and told Biden that he saw an online video supporting his claim that Biden is hostile to the Second Amendment. Biden, pointing out the individual as they were inches apart in the middle of a crowd, said he's not working for him and told him not to be such a horse's A-double-S. Biden, at one point mistakenly referring to AR-14s, went on to press the individual to acknowledge that machine guns are illegal. Biden appeared to then misspeak and saying AR-15s are illegal before questioning why anyone needs 100 rounds. The dispute caught on camera happened at the Fiat Chrysler plant as Biden stumped for votes in Michigan, the biggest prize among the states voting Tuesday, with 125 delegates at stake. Biden earlier told the workers, "You made me a hero when I was getting a lot of heat for the bailout, the rescue. You guys saved management. Management didn't save you." He also called the workers the best DAMN workers in the world. And then Sanders, of course, is jumping in and they're tweeting, "This was predictable." So the fact that we're looking at Joe Biden versus Bernie Sanders is remarkable. But I'm telling you, do not assume for one second that the November election is a done deal. Do not. I'm telling you, for the sake of this democracy, this representative republic, for the sake of this country's future, do not assume that. If anything, if you're a conservative and care about the constitutional republic, you need to get more engaged as you see this stuff. And then we've got what's going on with the coronavirus. And you've already seen the stock market just getting absolutely pummeled. It's down like 20% on the year, 15%, something like that. It made up some ground today. But if you look at it, and who gets stuck with that? Trump does. And what happens when it gets worse? Because I think it's going to get worse financially. You're going to have schools closing, which means what? Well, that means one of the parents has to stay at home. What if both parents work? You see the economic just rolling down a big snowball at the top of the mountain, keeps rolling, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We need to be people of prayer and people of action. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more. Hey, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, fighting through some technical issues yesterday and today. Today's been a big problem, and we had Jeremy Camp on in the first part of the show, and his call got dropped three times, maybe four times, and then we ran out of time. Couldn't get him back because he's totally slammed, because I Still Believe opens this Friday. Make sure you go see it. Incredibly powerful movie. Great love story. Wholesome love story, which is a nice change of pace, isn't it? A totally nice change of pace. So I Still Believe, but also because it's a true story of his first marriage with Melissa. They got married in college. She died of cancer. Really, really tragic. But the hope and what God can do out of that. And Jeremy referenced 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which a friend of mine died of stomach cancer when he was 39. This is years ago. And he was God just dropped this line into my head at the time. He was a great, Mike Lovick was his name. He was a great steward of his affliction. He used that cancer. He fought valiantly, loved his wife and his kids, but he was sharing the gospel and loving on people. And it was incredible to watch, totally supernatural. But God just reminded me the day of his funeral, he was a great steward of his affliction. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, comforting other people with the comfort that you've received from God. If you're going through trials and tribulations and trouble, think of it that way. God has entrusted you. That is a unique platform. That is uniquely profitable soil for helping others, for glorifying God, for the gospel. That is uniquely powerful soil. And we're called to be good stewards of our affliction. Okay, speaking of affliction, we're going to try to get one caller in here. Thomas is calling in from North Carolina. Thomas, thanks for calling in. I know you wanted to talk about the coronavirus. Thanks so much for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. It's good to hear from you. The only thing, you know, I think it's overreacting with this coronavirus. It's no different from the flu. We have more deaths from the flu than we have from this so far. I just think people's overreacting. And then on Sunday when I'm behind the pulpit, I try to do the same thing. I wish I could set up a pandemic for God and people want him. So, you know, I just think we overreact and just do the normal things and go on through life and not react this way.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is amazing. And Thomas, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. God bless you and your ministry, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's where you got to dig into it and learn because, listen, the flu has killed 20 million people this season, okay? Not 20 million, 20,000, sorry. 20,000 people this flu season. 34 million people have gotten the flu this flu season. And now simply saying that the flu and COVID-19 are the same, you say, well, kind of, but in the numbers, they're not. Because, for example, the flu virus can only exist on its own for about 4 or 5 hours. The corona-19 can exist on its own, like on a door handle, for 7 to 14 days, a week, 2 weeks. Okay, that's a big difference. And then the mortality rate amongst older people is a big problem with coronavirus. And then the fact that you're asymptomatic, meaning you're showing no symptoms for 2 weeks. So you have it, you're contagious, but you have no symptoms. So you don't know you're contagious. And right now, we actually don't know how many people have the coronavirus, COVID-19, because there's only so many testing kits. And you don't get tested until you're actually very sick. So there's this whole cloud of uncertainty, which is real. And we don't know everything yet. So there's that. But then there is all the other downline effects of what's happening, which the media is definitely not helping. And then like Cuomo in New York saying, oh, we're going to quarantine this one particular area. We're calling in the National Guard so they can help deliver food. I mean, that kind of talk in public just foments fear. And you really only have in the United States of America, by all the studying I've done, all the research I've looked at, and I looked at some new stuff in the last couple of weeks, maybe 9 to 13% of the population are born-again Christians. So the overwhelming majority, let's say it's 15% are born-again. 85% of the country not born-again, doesn't have the Holy Spirit, doesn't have the peace that surpasses all understanding, don't even have access to it. So fear is very real and very powerful. So as we shut down schools, we shut down businesses, people self-quarantine for 2 weeks, that rolls all downhill. Think of a snowball going down a big hill. And it has all kinds of ancillary effects. Like with an earthquake. An earthquake happens, we tend to think, well, how many people died during the earthquake? But then you're knocking out food and power and water, distribution, and all those things add up. And people can't get to healthcare. They can't get to a hospital. So you have all this kind of redundant on down the road effects. And that's what's going on with the coronavirus. So you're going to get a lot of people that are going to get sick. A significant number of people will pass away, sadly. But what do you do with that? I mean, that's the question for us. So Christ calls us to live with wisdom. We have to live wise lives. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Okay? So we have a particular moment in time where there's a lot of fear and a lot of worry. I would not mock that. I would not make fun of it. I would not look down my nose at it. Because remember, most people, if you're a born-again Christian, most people don't have what you have. Like 85% of the people you'll see today as you're walking around in the public are not born again. Average across the country. So let's take this as an opportunity, number one, to be prayerful. Let's pray for those in authority over us. Let's pray for the sick. Let's pray for people that are getting it, have it. Let's pray for people to be wise, but not freaking out. But we need to pray for the economy. We need to pray for our leaders, everybody involved, federal level, state level, local level. And we need to reassure people, and we need to be sober-minded about it, but not freaking out. And somebody said, hey, are you really freaking out about it? I would want to have conversations about coronavirus. What an easy thing to do. I found myself cracking jokes about it too much in the last week, but we shouldn't, because there's a whole lot of people and a growing number of people that aren't laughing. And so as a Christian, let's not be blasé about it. Let's meet people where they're at, and people are actually fearful. And do we have an antidote for that? Do we have an answer for that? Do you have an answer for the hope that you have? 1 Peter 3, you better, I better. And so let's use our calm and our peace, that's supernatural, to be a blessing to others. And be calm, know what we're talking about, pay attention. What king doesn't first count the cost before he goes off to war, Jesus said. We're called to live a life of wisdom and discernment. So let's make sure we're doing that. Don't add to the hysteria, but let's wade into it. To love people well, to meet them where they're at, to hopefully bring some facts. And these things actually have real effects on people. You think the financial thing is over? It's not, because we're up 1,100 points today. No, it's not. Look, I'm looking at a Dow Jones chart right now. On February 11th, it was at 29,346. Today, it closed at 25,000 because we came up 1,100 points. Okay, that's great. But it's still 29.5 down to 25.4. That's a 4,500 point drop. That's significant. Okay, it's not a small thing. And you look at the last month and just go back. My birthday, February 21st, 28,947. So just shy of 29,000. And now we're at 25,000. This is real. This has real impact on people, especially the older they are. And they're looking at their 401k and their retirement accounts coming down 15%. Okay, that's real. And we need to care about that. But we don't freak out. And this isn't all that we have, right? Sometimes we act like it is. Sometimes I act like this is it. And if something doesn't work out for me this week, holy cow, I go into a tailspin. Of course, again, we should not grieve over death. As those who have no hope, we shouldn't grieve over things like this as if we have no hope. We shouldn't grieve over the fact that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are actually the two front runners in the Democrat Party, want to be the president of the United States, as if we have no hope. We shouldn't grieve over that as if we have no hope. Does it matter? Yes. I often say it this way. I grieve for the here and the now. I grieve and I mourn over the here and the now. I long for and look forward to the there and the then. As a Christian, somebody born of the Spirit, born again through Jesus Christ, we are caught between two worlds. We're caught between the eventual world, heaven, which is more ethereal and spiritual now. One day heaven will come down to earth. It will be very physical and the earth will be renewed and heaven is here. Did you know that, by the way? You should study that. It's fascinating. So you think Hawaii's nice now. Wait till it's part of the new heavens and the new earth when heaven ends up on earth. So we have that ahead of us, but we're not there yet. And then what we have where we're at right now is a very fallen, very broken world. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to spend on average, what, 76, 80 years walking through what simply amounts to, this is my frank language, a big old cow pie pasture. There's garbage everywhere. I had a friend at years ago that was with corporate chaplains. And one thing he said to me one day, he said it not to me, he said it in a group. And he said, the world is a crime scene. Now, my uber conservative side said, oh, that sounds like a victim mentality to me. Oh, woe is me. Everything's coming out to get me. No, that's not true. The world is a crime scene. Crimes against each other, crimes against ourselves, a broken ecology. The earth itself groans for the resurrection, for the renewing. The whole thing is broken. So it really is a crime scene. I'm not sitting here assigning blame here and there. It just is what it is. It's a big mess. So if you think you're going to spend 75 years walking through a big pasture that's got a ton of cow dump all over the place and not get some on you, that's just ridiculous. We're all going to get some of it on us. Life is really broken, really messed up. And whether you're talking about political, financial, spiritual, health, like I still believe opening this Friday, there's a beautiful love story, but a cancer story too. You're going to get it. Jesus guaranteed it. In this life, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. And I see him. I kind of had this picture in my mind of Jesus jumping up and clicking his heels together. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So let's take advantage of that reality when we're in the middle of darkness to love people well, people in uncertainty, people with fear, people with very real problems. Let's bring that hope into the situation. Because when the times are the darkest, it's when you and I, as ambassadors of Christ, should shine the brightest. This is Steve Noble. It's the Steve Noble Show. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. Like my dad always used to say, ever forward.